This is Amateur Logic, episode 213, for January 16th, 2026. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. The season is all about connection, and ICOM keeps that spirit shining with amateur radios that deliver clarity, reliability, and reach. Hello, welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm you.
And I'm Mike.
I always want to say that Dean Martin thing. I'm just kind of like, anymore. It just kind of rolls out.
Yeah.
That's why I introduce myself when I meet new people.
We can do that here sometime.
Just did.
You may notice the background is a little bit different tonight.
I didn't notice. I don't feel the heat of the tubes on the back of my neck.
Yes, that is a WSQK behind us. Well, sort of.
And in front of you.
Ooh.
So is that yours or is that from the show?
No, that's one in the swampy mill.
Oh, it's Stranger Things.
Yep, it's the same model of transmitter. That one has had all the parts pilfered out of it by various people. On the right-hand side, you see the Continental logo, and that little window right above it is a lot of sticks and grass and whatever the rats and whatever else was living in there drug in. But that's where I opened it up and saw the cottonmouth in there one time.
Oh.
Ah, you should open it up. That would have been interesting.
I did.
Today?
No.
When you took this?
The door's wide open when I took this. I have some others. I don't have them loaded up. You see how it looks like the light's coming out of the window?
Uh-huh.
That's not the window. That's where the roof is falling in. Yeah. So, this one hadn't been run. I don't know when it was replaced. Around 1999, I think it was replaced by another transmitter.
In another building, I hope?
Yes, in another building.
Okay.
And that's just the shell of that one still left there. But I thought it'd be something fun to look at in the background as
that's pretty cool.
Do the show tonight.
It is cool.
Since I have the T-shirt, why not?
As we roll with it.
Snakes on an RF deck.
Snakes in a transmitter.
Somebody get these snakes out of here.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these snakes!
It is a...
you seen that movie?
Yeah.
I think you forgot a couple of words.
Tell me what's been going on.
Not a whole lot. I've been kind of slacking.
For like since January 2nd?
Yeah, since January the 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, I retired.
Hey, were you down south? Were you down south? You don't look pasty white like I do. And George looks like he's been out in the sun, too. What's going on over there?
I'm a working man. Tommy was until recently, so he's still got the tan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a computer screen tan. I worked in front of a computer.
That's ready. Well, that's LEDs now. That's not even X-rays anymore.
No CRT tan.
Yeah. So nothing going on?
I haven't really done a lot. I've been playing around the radio some, getting on HF, doing some parks on the air stuff. Just kind of been loafing, taking the first few weeks off. Next week I kind of get started back with some other things that I had going. Kind of put off, so.
You know, it's supposed to be really cold tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'll be good antenna weather.
Perfect. Yeah. Actually, I got some of that I'm going to be doing here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like we know what really cold is.
Yeah. Email, what's been going on down there?
Surviving the cold weather, the really cold weather.
The 40s.
getting ready for the Mardi Gras. I'm in a parade tomorrow. That's going to be cold, no doubt. So I'm trying to warm up, save up some stuff, and also getting ready for the Artemis launch that's about to take off from NASA. I think it's tomorrow, as a matter of fact. They rolled it out to the pad and getting ready for that.
Get on my NASA shirt tonight.
Is this the manned mission, or is it another flyby?
Yeah, the crew is going to be manned, and they're flying around. They're going to be on board, yeah.
But they're not landing on the moon. They're just going around the moon.
No.
So exactly. Are we finally going to see some pictures of those glass cities on the dark side of the moon?
We'll see. Who knows?
Where all the Transformers are hiding.
So
I got my NASA shirt on tonight.
You bringing a crew
nice.
From down in South Mississippi and, I don't know, maybe even parts of the country of New Orleans with you up to Jackson in a few weeks, aren't you?
Yeah. We got a plan. The Chief Ram Mobile is full to capacity with some friends, some people who are hams, not hams. So we might make us some hams.
Okay, so that'll be for the Capital City Ham Fest in Jackson, Mississippi on January 30th and 31st. We'll be there.
Sure will.
Ray will be there.
Yep.
I mean, a good old time.
A lot of people will be there. Looking forward to it.
It is a good ham fest.
Is that the same week as Winterfield Day or same weekend as Winterfield Day this
year? You know
year?
It is. Just about every year.
Well, last year was a different week.
Yeah, but that's the only year it's ever been a different week, I think. It's something just doesn't want us to do Winterfield Day. I know we're worrying people when we say that because we might take the contest, but
yeah,
I can promise that would never happen.
I'm quite sure.
Mike, what's been going on up there in the Great White North?
Well, currently, let's see what the temperatures are. It's 23 degrees Fahrenheit and snowing.
What's that in Kelvin?
I don't know. But it's still, I think, above seasonal norm. We're usually a little bit cooler than this time of year. But we had some nasty weather happen about a week or so ago, about a week and a half. Our roads in my area were closed for like 3 days. Wow. So I kind of felt like a shut-in.
Yeah, you know it's bad when you guys get snowed in up there.
Yeah,
you guys invented all that stuff.
Well, that's just it. They even pull all the snow plows. I saw one go by earlier, but when that happens, they pull everything off the road. No police, no roads crew or anything. So, just got to hunker down and wait it out.
Well, Tommy, you're this month's slacker, so.
I've been trying pretty hard at it too.
Yeah, I can tell.
How's it feel?
Amazing.
I'm
not gonna lie about it.
Tonight, I'm gonna have a segment here in just a minute. Actually, I was there. I took that picture of that transmitter. In the last couple of weeks. That's not what I'm going to show you tonight, more than what you've already seen. But I do have a Tales from the Transmitter site. It'll be coming up here shortly. Mm. Emil, you're going to have an update for us, I believe, coming up in a little bit.
There's been some progress being made in these Mississippi woods down here at the shack, the cheap old shack.
Okay.
The cheap shack, huh?
I don't know. You're going to have to lose that cheap.
That cheap acronym
is going fast.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can pull that cheap thing off anymore, man.
No.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to put a green screen in there and
dirty it up?
Yeah.
Mess it up a little bit? Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Make it look like you're inside a plank barn.
Yeah. I can.
Glenn gave me a green screen, so I'm going to have to put some cheap, maybe a dump background or something.
Yeah. Oh, and Mike, incidentally, that transmitter came from Canada. It wasn't made in Canada. It was made, I believe, in Dallas. But I don't remember what station it was, but it was some 50 kilowatt AM up in Canada that this originally was at. And it was purchased from there and driven down to Mississippi and ran here a few years.
Did it smell like maple syrup when you turned it on for the first time?
I didn't turn it on. It hasn't run since I've been taking care of those stations.
Did it have salt rust at the bottom of it from where it got from the salt on the road?
I don't think they had it on the road.
Okay.
But, you know, I did hear it on the air before, and it, you know, kind of had that, never mind. I can't come up with anything.
It was a nice try.
It was.
Maybe later.
Yeah. Mike, you've got, I don't know what you would call this. Is this a news item or what is a project?
It's a news item and a project. This might be of particular interest for Tommy since he's a photography buff. Somebody's taken a newer CMOS camera guts, I guess you could call it, and put it into a telescope for low light. So just in a nutshell, I guess what happened when they changed from CCD or charged coupled devices for the image sensor in digital cameras, they switched to a CMOS sensor. And there's something that's called starlight or sends up mode. And that makes the camera more sensitive to light than the human eye, which is pretty amazing because up to this point, I've never had a camera that has been more sensitive to light than what I can see. It sacrifices at a little speed, but that's okay because you're using an exposure time longer when you're doing these types of images off of a telescope anyway. So it looks pretty cool. I just, you know, $250, too rich for my blood to take that leap. Somebody that's into photography might be tempted to do it.
Yeah. That's
pretty cool.
As I promised, I have a Tales from the Transmitter. Why don't we take a look at that now? This one, I think, is an appropriate subject. I wish I had more carnage that I could show with it, but I'll show you what I got. Now, in this FM transmitter, this is where all the business happens. This tube will produce 35 kilowatts when properly excited with the right plate voltage and plate current as well. This is a tube right here. This is a chimney around it at the bottom. Then this is the plate blocker. The top of the plate blocker goes to ground. The bottom of it is connected to the plate of the tube. Inside there's a high voltage anode lead. It comes down and puts approximately 10 kilovolts on the center point of this tube on the plate. This side over here has a paddle that is used for the plate tuning. It's motorized. It will adjust in and out to be closer and farther from the tube. This side is the plate loading. You can see it's fairly close there to the tube in the plate blocker. The plate loading has a connection. I don't know if we can see it. If we look around behind it, yeah, you see that strap back there going to that insulator with all the holes in it? That's how the RF leaves this tube. This is a tuned cavity. In other words, the physical size of this cavity tunes the transmitter to this particular frequency. This is a piece of finger stock that's used in transmitters, generally around doors and cavities and such. This end looks okay. It's silver when it's new, but you can see this one has seen better days. And yes, it does leave a mark. If we go around back, pull the door off, we can look up here and see, yeah, this is the transmission line. That's like 4-inch heliacs there. There's the feed through for the watt meter. There's an elbow and it turns and comes down into the transmitter. That transmission line goes to this cavity right here, which is called the harmonic filter or the low pass filter. This has a number of discs on the inside down on the bottom, and you can't see it from here, but that is where the strap comes off the plate loading. It connects inside the harmonic filter that's in this cavity. If a lightning strike comes down the transmission line, comes inside of it on the center conductor, it's going to come down into this cavity. Also, there's 35 kilowatts of RF coming up through that cavity, so it gets abused pretty well. Over here on the side is a fan that blows in the side, blows fresh air into the cavity, and then that exhaust up here. That's not necessarily there to keep that filter cool. What that does is blows air all the way through it. If an arc got started in here, say with lightning or RF or whatever, with that high RF power coming through it, the arc could be sustained and burn something up. Blowing air through it helps to blow out that arc so it can't sustain for long periods of time, hopefully protecting the harmonic filter. This is an old harmonic filter like we were just talking about. It came out of the transmitter, I don't know, at two different times. Don't see much wrong with the top section. However, where it had a little miss out there. You can see where there are some arcs on here from past episodes. Now look down there in between those two. Yeah, does not look very good. And this one does not have a lot of arcing and scarring on the sides. Has a little bit, not a tremendous amount. The one that's in the transmitter now was arced up all up and down it. I took it apart a year or so back and sanded it down real good. Was able to salvage it along with some parts from this one here. See that black spot up there? There was a transmitter or transmission line fire some decades ago out here. I don't know a lot of the details. You can see where it melted the jacket off of that smaller Heliax. Not good. This one is used for a studio transmitter link, so it's receive only. And it still works, so it was never replaced. Now, I don't have a lot of old burn-up parts. I haven't saved many of them. These are just a few that happen to be around. The transmission line is connected with what we call bullet connectors. If you look at that right there, that is supposed to be nice, bright white. You can see where this one has suffered a little failure. This one has suffered a little damage. Not horribly. I mean, there's no melting on here, and I've seen those just completely burn up, the fingers there. You can see up in this elbow, it's a little soot, a little more down inside. We don't see what this was connected with, but that was probably the piece that really burned up and got thrown away. Plate blockers. I showed you that a minute ago. Well, here's a plate blocker right here. This one is not really that old, but you see it's got bad written on the side. A good reason for that. Let's walk around. Oh, look at that. That's really burnt up there, and you can see where the arc went this way too. You see that little hole right there? It's looked on the inside. Came out just above that plate, but still, you can't reuse that. And it's too burned up to salvage. Here's another one. Has a little bit of arcing around here. Not real bad. That could be sanded and get some more use out of that, or you could turn it where it's not near anything. See a little bit of burn down here on that Kapton. Not real bad. Not sure what caused that. But if we look on the inside, way down in there, that's some nice arcing there. Now that, I don't know, that might be cleaned up. Some of it's kind of rough though. It could probably be made to work though, if necessary. Now those plates we were looking at, that went up beside the plate blocker. Here's one right here, it's got a little damage on it. I have seen them much worse than this. So there you go, that's some of the glamorous activity you can expect around the transmitter site. Some of the residents out here wanted to say hello. Probably can't hear them for that blower going though.
Interesting.
Those were just minor burnouts there. I've seen stuff. I mean, like the copper transmission line just dripping like it was ice cream.
Did I see that 2-inch or 2.5-inch Heliax where the outer insulation, or was it 4-inch?
No. Well, the
what the one was, up above. Yeah.
What was coming on the transmitter was 4-inch. The piece that had the insulation mounted was or burned was probably like 1.875 inches.
Okay.
Yeah. And
yeah, it was melted, right? Normally that would have like PVC over top of it.
Yeah, just like the 4-inch piece.
Right.
Yeah, and when that fire happened, and I wasn't there when it did. This was years before I was taking care of that. It burnt the jacket off of that, and it would still work, and that was just being used to receive. There's a big, like, 8-foot dish up on the side of the tower that picks up a 950 megahertz signal.
That's STL coming. Feed?
Yeah, it's the STL. So that piece of line there was just for receiving. It was that big, though, because of 950 megahertz. There's a lot of loss in that stuff, so you use bigger and you get more signal down. However, you know, the center of that's got a piece of copper line going through it as well, and it's got little Teflon or some kind of plastic insulators.
Little spreaders crossed, keep it centered.
They keep it centered. Well, those kind of melted in there too, so if you monkey around with that line too much,
you'll you can hear rattling inside.
Well, you'll lose the receive signal.
Yeah.
So I've
short out.
At least it hasn't happened to me, but the guy before told me that, and so I've been very careful not to mess with that. It probably should be sawed off and replaced, but it's been working. There's plenty of signal coming through it, so I have not opened that can of worms because I had plenty of cans already open with other stuff, but I wish I had taken some pictures over the years of some of the different burnouts I've experienced up on the towers and such. But I didn't.
How tall is that tower, incidentally?
That was 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet, yeah. So that's a lightning rod.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of you guys that, this is for Ham College mainly, but a lot of you guys that watch Amateur Logic, watch Ham College too, kind of participate. Well, we got to looking at the question pool, and at the current rate, we were going to be way past the expiration date of June the 30th for the technician pool. So we're going to be doubling up on the questions on the shows, and plus we're going to have some extra shows. So stay tuned to the, you got something?
I happened to have where I was kind of trying to calculate how many we were going to have to double up on.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, there's actually going to be one on this coming Thursday. Normally they're on Fridays, but the other ones are going to be on the days that we can actually fit them in. So they may not be on a Friday.
Thursday, January the 22nd for the next show.
Yeah, the very next one will be then. So one 6 days from now.
Yep. So there'll be, wait a minute. Yeah, there'll be twice as many questions as there has been in the past.
Yeah, and twice as many shows.
So, and twice as many shows for
that's a lot of fun this
foreseeable future. We'll be finished with the technician pool in May.
Yeah, and so like I said, the only reason I mention it here is because a lot of you guys in the chat room and a lot of you guys kind of follow along, even the ones that have extra class licenses already follow along with the technician pool. It's a great refresher.
Yeah.
So I learn something every time, and I've gone through them, I don't even know how many times. At least three.
Yeah, I guess.
I still kind of learn something get something refreshed in my memory, so.
And the pools have changed a little bit over the years. Since the last time we went through the technician, yeah, there's a good many.
So if you haven't joined us, you might want to join us for that. It's a lot of fun. Kind of get to go along with us on the chat room and participate. And we kind of interact with that as we can. So also, we've got some ICOM swag that's given away every ham college as well.
Yes. And you should register. There is a easy way to do that. Very few qualifications.
Yep. Just send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. All you need is a name. You don't need a license or anything. So you send your name, you get put in the drawing once a month. If you don't win, send it again next month, you'll get put back in. The queue gets emptied out. We don't harvest the emails. We don't sell them to anybody. ICOM only gets the one that's drawn for the winner. So it's no risk in it.
Yep.
Only reward.
Ham College.
So like I can skip class twice as much now?
Yep.
Or half as much. Depends.
Or half?
Yeah. Depends, you know. Just how much learning can you take?
Yeah.
So we could always use
Emil,
a little more.
Emil needs all the schooling he can get, all the teaching he can get.
Yeah.
So. Y'all have any economics or financial classes?
Unfortunately,
probably need one.
Yeah.
What do you need? Debt financing? Is that what you're getting at, Emil?
It's something to guide the cheapness.
Oh,
debt consolidation.
We had an expert. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Kind of went off the deep end of the checkbook.
We're going to be back in just a moment, so don't go away.
The season is all about connection, and ICOM keeps that spirit shining with amateur radios that deliver clarity, reliability, and reach. Every call travels further, every friendship feels closer, and the airways become a place where the season's warmth never fades. Whether you're catching up with familiar voices or discovering new ones, ICOM keeps every signal bright. Happy New Year from ICOM. The IC7300 MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. The result is an HF 50 MHz transceiver that feels familiar yet unmistakably evolved. Improved RMDR and phase noise, lower heat generation and reduced power consumption, HDMI output for external displays, USB Type-C with dual COM ports, built-in CW decoder and audio peak filter, and RX antenna in and out connectors. The ID52A Plus is ICOM's most advanced handheld for operators who want powerful digital capability, wideband flexibility, and a modern interface that brings the airways to life. With expanded D-Star performance, an upgraded 2.3-inch color display, enhanced Bluetooth functions, and simultaneous dual-band monitoring, the ID52A Plus delivers a richer, more connected experience wherever you go. It's the next evolution of handheld communications, compact, capable, and unmistakably ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, please visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
And thanks for sponsoring Amateur Logic, ICOM.
Absolutely, we appreciate them.
We do. As a matter of fact, Ray will be here in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
with the IC7300 MK2 in tow. we're going to take a little closer look at.
Yeah, get the crime scene tape out.
We do. It's still got a little back here.
See if we can hold it down.
Yeah.
I'm not playing around with that. That's a pretty nice little radio.
It's got some outstanding features. It really does. And hard to believe in that price point of radio.
I guess I got to give him the two receivers back that I have of his that I hijacked from him last time he was here.
Yeah, he might appreciate that. Email. As a fellow,
that's you,
who appreciates a good budget and enjoys spending it.
Enjoys blowing the budget. Yeah,
set this up for us.
All right. So I know I've been off the air for quite some time, ever since we moved to Mississippi. And so I've made a dedicated decision to get something done soon to get me back on the air, albeit some basics, but I'm on the air.
Hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. It's a quick update on the cheap old shack over here in my corner of my shop. I'm putting together, finally getting around to putting together back some pieces, parts from the old house. Got my shop set up, scope, counter, scope meter, some pieces, parts, lots of RF parts in there, some handy talkies, and other things I'm working on. Some soldering station, some cables, and other things I need to install in here. And the Go Box, I got the first thing set up just to make sure I can get on the air. Got some audio equipment in this center aisle where I can reach the back and front of the radios. Much easier than my old location, but there's my Go Box and some other pieces, parts here, along with my audio gear so that I can hear everything. Going to be patching a lot more into this section, but I did get VHF, UHF on the air, as well as my Go Box for all the emergency deployment stuff. And it's working quite well on 20 and 40. Been hitting a lot of POTA stations out there. Lots of them going around. And just trying to get a little bit organized. A little bit better organized out here. Everything's been sitting in boxes since the move, actually. So we'll get stuff out and deployed and organized. We'll take a look at the antennas. Right now, all I have set up just to get on the air, and it does a great job, is my Wolf River coil antenna with its radials. 40 and 20, it does a bang-up job in the other bands, too. I've just been using it there mainly. Of course, you go up and down with the coil and tune it like you would. And the main VHF antenna's up there on a fiberglass mast for now. Been working on that. A little FMAM antenna. Everything going into the shack. We have my little enclosure from DX Engineering. They're using Amphenol stuff with my ultra ugly Balin. Cheap solution, but it does the job. Some temporary stuff, so I'll use that for a bit while I build my stuff. This is always good to test out too if I went to field day in general. So there you go. That one's doing an okay job. No gain on it, but that antenna's been with me. That's ICOM's AH7000. Been with me for years, 10s, 15, maybe 20 years, 15, I'm guessing. And again, still in awesome shape, still works. No gain, but I'm hitting everything I need to or want to around here. Now I'll be setting up my solar panel and battery, lithium ion phosphate battery down there, because if you remember right, in my go box is an Epic power gate with some power solutions in there, and also a tuner, power from my tuner, external tuner from MFJ. Pretty much load up anything I need to, 1200 to 1, with power coming to it from the antenna. Got a bias T stuck in there, still up there, and the Epic power gate that auto switches from battery and the power supply that's in it, Astron and other stuff. So I'll be setting that up in a little bit. But one of the main things I wanted to talk about was my little board I built out here. Got some plywood and put me together some things using hard ties from Home Depot. Even though I'm going to do something a little different with this, even something more sturdier with some angle iron. But at least right now I can have my radios on one side and the antennas on the other. Radios on one side, antennas on the other. I'll have probably 5 or 6 of these connections coming in initially. And then I can easily jump. The wrap around you see here is just to handle excess coax coming in, or jumpers, to handle the jumpers of different sizes, etc. And then patch what I need between the two. One side, they're all screwed in and adaptered as needed. Some stuff coming in, some is PL259. And then on the other side, you can just quick connect with these slide-on connectors. So I can put any radio with any antenna, if needed, with these little jumpers. And that is something I wanted to have here at the new place, this alleyway here, so that I could get to the sources and work in between on the backs of all the gear and have a little shop to work on stuff. Still in progress, but so far so good. I've definitely got more circuits to run electrically. I've got some more things to get over there and external lighting and other things to happen, as well as another board here that I'm going to use to mount the fiber demark from the house, as well as some internal networking for this building, APs and Ethernet with its own drops. And I'll continue running the circuits and the power that I need all throughout the building. So, again, work in progress, but hey, at least it is progress. Got the VHF, UHF, 8 and local repeaters, or not so local repeaters, back where I used to live in Slidell, and probably about a good 20 miles north more than I was in Slidell. So, working good on that disc cone. Even though there's no gain, it's still up there enough to hit that repeater. KE5, QKR monitoring.
As long as you got the money to do it, but yeah, I'm always getting offers for new cards, and one of my accounts got closed here last this month.
I'm still pretty surprised and impressed with that Wolf River coil and its radial system with this station. It works really great, really good, and so far so good. So there's an update on the shack here and coming together. Still plenty to do. My ICOM's got to get them over here and make it all work. So 73 KE5 QKR, the cheap old man.
Email, when I saw that big coil of wire you had up there on the wall with your patch panel, at first I was wondering if that was a cheap old ugly balun. But then I decided, no, he just had too much wire and he had to put it somewhere.
That's right. I wanted, not only on the inside from where all the radios are going to go to it on one side, there's extra wire, but there's, when they're coming in, the one big, I call it an ugly bale, and it's actually a choke, mm-hmm. right? It's really yeah. a choke all around that bucket, 8 to 10 turns, and it's absolutely needed with that big coil and all this radio sitting right there. But there's always that extra bit that comes in, so I was like, okay, no, I got to do something with this. So I just put those service loops, yeah. four little L brackets on either side, just wrap it around.
You know, there is actually a benefit to doing that. Do you know what it is?
I mean, I can guess it's something similar to common mode.
Lightning suppression.
No? What is
lightning suppression. Lightning okay. likes to take as direct path to ground as possible. I've seen it done on AM installations where yeah. they'll put a few turns in there, and hopefully that helps, you know, prevent the lightning, give it a chance to think twice and go yeah, somewhere and
it's,
else.
It's headed for that fancy 40-channel mixer.
Yeah.
I always put some loops outside near the bottom of my mast.
It's a good idea.
For that reason.
Yeah.
That Amphenol box from DX Engineering also has the ground plate in it with suppression, you know, like
yeah.
the wires coming in or what do you call it? Suppressors, lightning in there. So
yeah, suppressors.
It's coming along. You guys definitely have heard of Rockin' Ray. I mean, you knew Rockin' Ray way back before I was even here. And y'all, you know, had some good times at Rockin' Ray. But I bet you didn't know how early he really started that career. And it apparently goes way back when it was Baby Ray.
Those are awesome.
Yep. AI. Yeah. I think, yeah.
There's actually quite a few of those he put out there on his Facebook site. And I think the term, I love the term in the chat, if you read the chats, it was his What I Found in My Trunk dance.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
I can understand that. I can see how that could happen.
I don't know what to say about that. This is something that I can't believe it's been around for so long and I didn't know about it sooner, but every once in a while I stumble upon one of these internet gems and it's like a rabbit. It's like going down a rabbit hole.
Hey, what's that? Every so often I stumble across something really interesting on the internet. This site is one of them. Hey, what's that is one of those sites that makes you ask yourself, why haven't I seen this before? On Hey, what's that's main site, you'll find a collection of tools such as the main site. The main site computes the horizon and mountain names and other related visualizations, including the surface of the earth visible from where you're standing. The path profiler. The path profiler allows you to create a path and generate its elevation profile. Eclipsite. The Eclipsite uses the Google Earth plugin to simulate solar and lunar eclipses. The Planisphere enhances the night sky feature of Google Earth by providing overlays of your horizon, an azimuth altitude grid, and the position of the sun, moon, and planets. The Cosmic Visibility page does the same inside your web browser, giving you new insight into the moon's phases in Earth's seasons and what you can see on Mars. Lastly, Hey, What's That Russia will tell you where in Alaska you can see Russia. We're going to be taking a look at the WISP tools. It's located in the upper right corner of the main website's page. Clicking on the WISP tools menu link will bring you to a series of demo pages. Shown here is a fixed wireless demo. Note that the violet X is your location or point of reference. Also note that there are several tower icons on the map. There is another page, which we'll see later, that defines each of the towers. The violet lines indicate the line of sight to each of the tower icons that are currently selected. You can enable or disable each of them by way of the checkboxes. Shown on this page is the elevation profile as viewed at the horizon. Under the Viewsheds tab, your map is displayed with overlays, which show things such as shadow areas. The diameter is determined by the tower values specified on the next page. Here is where you add specific data about your tower sites. You specify the tower coordinates, long, lat, as well as the tower height. Entering an estimated range will help determine the coverage area. You can either save as or input this data as a CSV file. Following the link shown will allow you to plot up to 5 towers at no cost. The landing page is a blank map of the default area. Enter a location in the box on the lower left to change to a desired location. If you're wondering where you can change the units, just click on the Settings tab. If you'd like to see contours on your map, you can enable them by clicking on the Contours button at the upper right-hand side of the map. For a satellite view, just click on the Satellite button. You can also toggle on or off the labels, which appears as a checkbox when you mouse over the Satellite button. There's a series of 3 short videos that do a great job of explaining things. They're definitely worth a watch. As I alluded to earlier, I'm a little late to the party. Hey What's That has been around since at least 2007, when this review article was written. As you can tell by my markup comments, this project continues to grow and improve. 7.3 from VE3MIC.
It's been around for at least since 2007, and here we are in 2026, and it's still going, and obviously they've made some changes since that review article was written. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how it progresses over the years.
Yeah. Arduino's been purchased. You know, they sold out to NVIDIA. So everybody's speculating on what's going to change.
NVIDIA?
Yeah.
I thought it was Broadcom.
Broadcom. They've been sold out to Broadcom. And we've been wondering about what's going to change. Apparently, not as much GPU stuff as I might have led you to believe earlier. But they've got their first new product, and this is the Arduino Q. And it's basically a high-performance Arduino with a few extra things. Right now, they got a 2-gigabyte model that you can buy. Or they're taking pre-orders for a 4-gigabyte model. The 2-gigabyte model, I did the translations, and it comes out to like $55.20 US.
Wow.
And the regular Arduino Unos were, what, $29.95 originally? Or $24.95?
I don't know. I've got them for like $15.
Well, you can buy the off-brands. Yeah. And I think you can on these too. The 4-gigabyte pre-orders, $59, but it's not exactly the same thing as what I thought.
I don't think so, because 2 gigabytes, man, that's quite the step up from the 8K and 16K from the other ones.
It's not the same thing at all. I don't know why they named it Uno. It's a Linux Debian capable Qualcomm Dragon Wing processor.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's got a regular CPU on it, and it's also got an STM32U585 microcontroller. So, it's a microprocessor and a microcontroller, both on the same board. I guess there are some neat things you can do. It's got USB-C on it.
What's the benefit of that over a Raspberry Pi? Because you've got IOs.
Well, you do.
But I guess if you want to have, because it's got the microcontroller on it and the microprocessor, so it's kind of like a Raspberry Pi / Arduino.
Yeah, but you already got I/O ports on a Raspberry Pi, so I'm still.
You do, yeah. But for low power applications, you'd want to stick with a microcontroller, especially if it's battery operated.
But this, you're going to have both a microcontroller and a microprocessor.
But could the microprocessor be shut down after it's done its thing?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I can tell you they're calling it a single board computer, and it's got a USB C port on it, so you can plug it into a USB-C hub. And
I bet you this is their version of trying to steal some of the market share from the Raspberry Pi.
You can hook a keyboard and a mouse. And if your USB hub has video capability, you can plug an HDMI monitor in as well. And then you've got a little Linux computer that you can run here, and it can talk to the microcontroller. You can just plug it, the USB-C cable, straight into a PC and use it that way. So they're saying the classic Uno form factor, which it is, and I guess that's why they call it an Uno. And it's, you know, the same pinouts, it appears.
Is that HDMI on there?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't think I can make it stop spinning, but that's Wi-Fi and I think Bluetooth.
Qualcomm Dragon Wing. That's
yep.
like the processors are using in some of the smartphones, isn't it?
Yeah.
16 gigabytes eMMC storage, dual band Wi-Fi, high speed headers. So it's nothing much to me like a Uno. It's way beyond that, but.
More like a BeagleBone.
If you want to just turn on an LED or flash a relay, I got that backwards. If you want to flash an LED or turn on a relay at the push of a button, this is probably overkill for that. But it is neat. You know, it's got everything.
It's a pretty complex logic in it.
Too. You kind of raised a good question, Tommy, because... There's Broadcom chips on the Raspberry Pis, so I got to think there's got to be some kind of non-disclosure agreements or NDAs that are in effect for Broadcom.
They say this is open source, and I guess part of it is you got to have their chips to do it, though. Arduino App Lab is a new development platform. It looks similar to the... Arduino platform.
IDE. Yeah,
but this thing talks both to the Linux computer and the microcontroller. And I would assume you can do some pretty powerful things with this. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I have not ordered one. I was waiting on email to get his first.
He might be waiting a while.
Yeah. So the things I would typically use a Uno for this...
It looks like way overkill.
A lot of distraction. You could do a lot of other cool things. I guess the big thing I saw that they plugged in there is, well, you could take this and a monitor and a keyboard and just plug it into a USB-C hub, and you don't need a computer to program the Arduino.
But you need a USB-C monitor.
Yeah.
Or USB-C to
HDMI. But actually, you do have a computer on there, so... I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I hope they don't stray too terribly far away from what the Arduinos originally
at least,
were.
At least I hope they don't, like, kill that other line of devices.
Oh, the R3?
Yeah, R3 or the R4. Isn't it R4 that's got the Wi-Fi?
Hmm. Yeah, the R4 started getting fancy with the onboard Wi-Fi and... you know, the LED matrix on board.
It looks like they still have the classic family here. They're calling it.
They still have the Leonardo?
Looks like they do.
Wow. So, it's going to be interesting because I don't know if one of you fellas did it or if I was reading it in the Raspberry Pi magazine where... You had a Raspberry Pi 4 or 5 connected up to one of their, one of those RP 2040s, I think it was, the Pico. So, you know, you take those combined, it kind of is the same idea of what you've got here.
I had the Arduino, I had the Raspberry Pi to program the Pico.
I want to do some things with them, so I hope they keep supporting that. I'm thinking, they might be phasing out these AT mega chips. Before we get out of here tonight, any final things we need to talk about?
Nope. Don't forget about the next Ham College this coming Thursday, the 22nd, at 8 p.m. And if you're in the area, come on by the Jackson Ham Fest on the, what day is that? The 29th? 30th and the 31st. Mm-hmm. So we'll be there. Hope to see you guys there. If you think about it, wear your amateur logic swag if you have some.
See you in Jackson. Stay warm. Happy Mardi Gras. Keep it cheap.
Yep.
That's, okay. That's funny.
You cracked up, Tommy, on that.
Yeah, you're cracking me up now. You're killing me.
Look, Arnie's in the chat room dying for bloopers, so I'm trying.
Yeah.
Well, it's 23 Fahrenheit as we speak. So, I mean, for January, I guess I can't complain because it's usually colder than that.
Join us on January the 22nd, next Thursday. You'll get twice the number of questions.
Twice the chance of buzzer action.
Yep. For the same low, low price of free. We're trying to make some new ham. So,
and you'll have a good time as well.
If you got some people that you think need their ham radio license, steer them that direction. And hopefully we can give some more tests.
If you've got your license and you want to go test your memory, it's a good place to go do a refresher too, because you're going to be surprised how much stuff you think you know that you forgot.
Or that they've changed the answers on.
That's true too.
Well, thanks for being here, everyone. We will see you on the next Amateur Logic. That will be, how could we miss it, almost, Friday, February 13th?
No. Really?
Yeah.
Get to get out my Jason mask. My hockey mask. Hockey mask night.
Damn Crystal Lake, here I come.
All right.
That's like a holiday here. We get to do a Friday the 13th show, man. That's kind of special.
It is.
Yeah, we get way too excited about that.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? We really do.
You know, my birthday is on the 13th. Hey, look, Friday, March the 13th. That's my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll be over.
There's another Friday the 13th in March.
Yes.
Wow.
So there's two of them.
This is a banner year for Friday the 13th.
It is.
I'm going to have to take my hockey mask and wear it on the plane home.
I'm sure they'll like that.
I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
I'll leave the flannel shirt here, though.
What is it? Who are the security? Is it TSA?
Yeah.
They're not going to like that.
Well, if you're carrying the hockey stick with you, maybe they won't notice.
Yeah. It's TSA here, but it's not TSA over there.
Yeah. 7-3, everybody.
Yeah, 7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.
7-3.